Welcome to the Rudin Report Live. I'm Dave Rudin, and we're coming to the home stretch of the high school football season. We've got coming up in about a half an hour the state semifinals, and the FCAC again, as always, is well represented with five teams. And if you're wondering why you're listening to me now and the football is going to be coming up in a little while, we're actually pre-recording this on Thursday afternoon. But fortunately, we can do that because it's very timely. We're in between the quarterfinals and semifinal rounds. And the quarterfinals saw the FCAC go 5-1. And the only reason there was a loss is two teams were playing each other. And Darien came away with the win over Fairfield Ludlow. So they're joining New Canaan in the Class L semifinals. In Double L, we're going to have the anticipated Greenwich-Staples rematch. And coming up in Class M, a real interesting game between St. Joseph and Daniel Hand. We're going to have a couple of return guests on with us in a little bit. Darien quarterback Ben Rolap is going to talk a little bit about the Ludlow game and looking ahead to today's game against Notre Dame of West Haven. And Fairfield Ludlow coach Mitch Ross is going to join us to talk a little bit about his team's great season and maybe help us look to the New Canaan Darien teams in particular. Joining me, as always, is my co-host, Sean Ireland. Sean, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Dave. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm a little more well-rested than I was yesterday. It's always a crazy night when you're covering four or five games, and it gets you kind of wired up. But I know you got to stream the games. You saw some of them. I was over at New Canaan, and I definitely want to talk about that one first. But any initial impressions you had from any of the games?
Yeah, I mean, Dave, you said we went 5-1 with the only loss, unfortunately, two teams that played each other. But, Dave, the other games, we outscored – the FCAC outscored the other conferences 152-26. So, the FCAC's having another very solid year so far in the state playoffs, and hopefully they continue to do so. Just the games I was watching, Dave, I thought you were there, so you can comment more, but I was watching. I mean, New Canaan's very, very good, but I thought Maloney would put up more of a fight. That, you know, that game to me, you know, seemed like it was over, at halftime. It just had that feeling it was over at halftime. Overall, the FCAC's looking very good, and hopefully they continue to roll this weekend.
Yeah, let's start with New Canaan, because I actually want to talk about one person in particular. But it looked like it was going to be a close game. It was actually 7-0 for a good part of the first half, and then the Rams scored twice in the final 4 minutes to take a 21-0 lead. And at that point, you figured they were in control, and they certainly were. And the only bad part about that game, when you have a blowout and you're standing in the cold and you have a 35-point rule, is when the kicker misses an extra point. And the 35-point lead goes to 34 and the running clock stops. And that, you know, for all of us standing out there in the cold, or those of us who you know, in the media on deadline, that was from the only downside. But I want to talk a little bit, and I wrote a feature about him, and I can't think of any player I respect more, a few as much, as New Canaan quarterback Luke Robinson. He came in a year ago. He won the job as a junior over Alex Russey. And he was pretty much, and he'll bristle a little bit about this, but by and large, he was a game manager. And I guess if you're a quarterback, you take that as a negative. I don't know. If I told you you were a game manager, is that a negative?
You could take it that way, yes.
So he definitely did, and you know, rightfully so. But they didn't need him to win games last year. They needed him, you know, just to manage games and not lose games. And they had a really good running attack. They ran the ball. Their total yards were 2/3 to 1/3 run to pass. They had the dominant defense that they've had the last 3 years, and he did exactly what you needed him to. He made plays. He was the perfect quarterback for that team. And he came in this year. he knew he had the starting job. He had no competition, and he's just kind of taking his game now to where still you don't want him to make mistakes, but you can tell me this as a coach. You'll sign up for a second for a quarterback that doesn't make mistakes, and he's thrown almost 400 passes the last 2 years, and he's got four interceptions total.
Yeah, I'll take a QB that does not turn the ball over anytime. You know, and Dave, I did not know that stat that you just said, but that is crazy. That is somebody who just knows the game, you know, and who was able to read a defense and know, you know, not put the ball in jeopardy by just throwing it up there, you know. And he even did it again the other night. Dave, we might be outdating some of our listeners here, but he had a Phil Simms-esque game the other night.
22 for 25 for 259 yards, if my memory is correct. I'm sure on the 22 for 25, because I remember that was the first year the Giants won the Super Bowl.
Yeah, but like I think he had three or four incompletions the other night, and
he was 15 for 19 for 229 yards, three touchdowns and no interceptions. And he threw two balls. The second best one is probably the one that people remember most, when he hit Chris Quest in the corner of the end zone, a rainbow with a 29-yard pass for a score. But in the first quarter, seventh play of the game, he's looking to the sideline, and I was standing right on the sideline a little bit past the coach's box, and he throws the ball. And even Lou Marinelli, the Rams coach, said, you know, where is he throwing the ball? Where is it going? And there's a small running back. His name's Finn Mocco. He's a sophomore who he had one reception for 2 yards coming into the game. And the ball somehow, next thing I know, the kid's got the ball. He spins. And what looks like he's throwing the ball away becomes a 32-yard gain on third and 13. I don't know how he got the ball in there, but they had a 2-to-1 ratio passing to running yards. You know, basically, if they're going to run the ball, if they're playing in the rain on Thanksgiving and you're not going to need him to throw too much, Luke said he's fine with it. And when they take the leash off a little bit more like they did Tuesday and they let him throw the ball, you know, he's making plays. He's a playmaker who doesn't make mistakes. And, you know, I just have a lot of respect because and we would joke a little bit last year. In fact, even when I interviewed him yesterday for the story I wrote today, you know, we joke about the whole game manager thing, and he bristled, and I definitely got it. But the kid's just, he's a winner. You know, he's a winner. What else can you say about a kid who just, I again looked up, if he wins the state championship next week. Drew Pine never won two state championships. Matt Milano, for people who remember him not too long ago, never won two state championships. And they're 1-2 in the book for most passing yards in New Canaan history. Luke Robinson may end up with two state titles.
Yeah, it's a good, you know, just to be in the conversation with those guys, you know you're doing something right. But, Dave, just a quick rewind to the play you're talking, the third down play. The first part of the play I thought was the best part. Their defensive end came in untouched.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was able to avoid him and roll out and find a guy on the sideline. But, yeah, to be mentioned in those guys' names, you know, you're doing something right. And, you know, the numbers, again, they're not the gaudy yardage and stuff like that, but his, you know, his percentages and his lack of turnovers, you know, you're going to go very far if you continue to do those things.
Yeah, he's completing 70% of his passes. He's just
that's not even 7-on-7 numbers, Dave. That's unbelievable. Yeah.
His numbers are great, and you watch him, and it's not anything that you know. He's not just throwing the ball wild downfield. He talks about wanting to make sure that he maximizes possessions. He just gets it and. He's been a great quarterback, and I wanted to make sure we gave him his due, and we'll talk a little bit more about him, and we're going to recap the other games coming up. But we're going to take a break right now, and when we're back, Darien quarterback Ben Rolapp. You're listening to the Rudin Report Live. We're back, and we're going to make the segue from New Canaan quarterback to Darien quarterback. And joining us right now, second time on the show this season, is Blue Wave quarterback Ben Rolapp, who is as steady as a metronome, 166 yards passing, two touchdowns, 113 yards rushing, two touchdowns, in a 54-13 Class L quarterfinal win over Ludlow. Ben, thanks for joining us again.
Thank you for having me, Dave.
I imagine you all are pretty happy with the performance. I know it was a close game at the half, 21-13, and then Thomas Hall, as he did against Wilton, jump-starts you guys with a kickoff return for a touchdown, and then you just dominated the second half.
Yeah, I mean, definitely a somewhat slow start in the first half, but, you know, we were confident how we were playing, and, you know, obviously getting kick-started by Thomas Hall in the second half was amazing for the team, and it was only up from there.
He's been Andy Grant, your coach, and I talked about yesterday. He's probably one of the most underrated players on your team. He's done that a lot this year.
Oh, yeah, I agree. Thomas plays everywhere for the defense. He's an extremely good player, and he's very impactful on special teams. Definitely an underrated player, and I think he was snubbed of all East FCF, personally.
How about the play of the offenses? That's where you are. It looks like you guys had a tough time on Thanksgiving, which we'll get to a little bit. And I'm guessing having only 5 days, it was easy to get everything out of your system and get back to playing Blue Wave football.
Exactly. I mean, you never want to be shut out, let alone at the Turkey Bowl. Kind of the only way to respond to that is come out and drop 50 in the first round of the playoffs.
How hard, you know, first, and we won't dwell on it, but it's hard not to talk about it, but you lost to New Canaan 34-0. I was there, and you were running around for your life a good part of the time, and the receivers were not open when you did have time. How frustrating is it when you lose to your biggest rival and in the manner that you did?
I think it's always frustrating because, you know, you want to win those games. You want to make those games at least competitive. And, you know, when you put on a showing like the offense did and in the Turkey Bowl, obviously leaves a bad taste in your mouth. But, you know, I think we're a better team for it. And I think that we fixed some things that, you know, went wrong in the Turkey Bowl. And, you know, we'll see who wins New Canaan versus Newtown. But, you know, it definitely wouldn't be a bad thing if you play New Canaan again.
I was going to get to that after, but and you're only human, you know. We can talk forever about we want to go 1-0 this week, one game at a time, and obviously you got to do that. But it's got to be you guys are not human if you're not thinking we want to play New Canaan one more time before we put the equipment away.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. You know what a privilege it is to possibly get another shot at New Canaan 2 years in a row. You know, when's the last time New Canaan and Darien have played four times in the span of two seasons? So definitely a privilege for us, and, you know, we're looking forward to it for whoever we play.
So what did the offense and the defense, too, let's not make it sound like it was just the offense, but what were you guys able to do to put New Canaan in the rearview mirror and to get back to playing the way you guys have just about the entire year?
I just think, you know, it's a credit to our coaches, you know, putting it behind us and, you know, kind of controlling the perspective of the team. You know, they have a good gauge of what the team morale is at and how to lift this up, or sometimes we need to be broken down when we're kind of on too high. So, you know, I just think it's at the end of the day, it's a game and you got to move on and you're going to take losses and you got to take what you can from them and use that to be better in the future.
How about you? How did you personally take the game, and just in terms of rebounding for your own play?
You know, I think there's a lot of things you can point to in that game. You can blame the rain, how it you can say how it benefited New Canaan. You can say how sometimes receivers weren't getting open. You can say how, you know, sometimes New Canaan dialed up a blitz that we didn't have an answer for. But, you know, I just think at the end of the day, football is a team sport. And, you know, even if me as the quarterback with me making most of the decisions, football is a complete team sport and you can't, you know, rely on one guy to make a play. whether that's a receiver or an lineman or a running back. So I think one thing we didn't do, including myself, on Thanksgiving is play the team. And props to New Canaan. That's something they did very well defensively and offensively.
Sean, I'll let you get in here for a bit.
Hey, Ben, first off, great season to date. And, you know, great job, especially on Tuesday night. The numbers you put up with your legs and your arm were unbelievable. Not that this is bulletin board material, but how happy are you? And we're just talking strictly, you know, location, demographics. Like, how happy are you that you guys are playing Notre Dame of West Haven right now and not driving up Route 8 to go to Nauvoo?
Let me tell you, it's amazing. You know, we did it last year. It wasn't fun. You know, it's always amazing to have two home games, you know, especially when you don't expect it as a 5 seed or a 4 seed. So you always want to play home playoff games, as many as you can get.
Yeah, and Ben, I've been up there, but it is not a fun ride at all. It's terrible. I can say you can't. I can say it stinks, all right? But so how are you guys? I mean, you guys only played last night, and you guys, like, listening to you guys and watching you guys, and, you know, we had Coach on a couple times. You guys are doing a phenomenal job. Dave just alluded to it. The big picture is next game. So how are you guys staying focused on Notre Dame of West Haven right now and not looking forward to that possible rematch?
Yeah, I just think it's very easy to get ahead of ourselves, but I think it's really important. We take it one day at a time. And, you know, I think the kids are good at that. Especially we did that throughout the season when we had, you know, maybe when we had a game, you know, 2 games from now, and a lot of kids were alluding to that or, you know, looking forward to that. But I think all season we've been very good at staying focused, staying dialed in, you know, taking it one play at a time, one practice at a time. And we're by no means looking past Notre Dame West Haven. You know, you always want to think about, you know, the final, who are we going to play in the final. But I think we're very focused on Notre Dame West Haven, and that's where our focus is right now.
Yeah, that's great.
What about Notre Dame of West Haven? I'm sure you've done some film work already. What are the keys there?
Yeah, I mean, you know, not going to get too technical, but obviously they were in a dogfight with Naugatuck on Tuesday. But, you know, we just are going to go out, try to be the more physical team, try to put up a lot of touchdowns and make a lot of stops on defense.
All right, that was good. That's no bulletin board material there at all, and you didn't show your hand at all. So, coach will be happy with that response. Well, Ben, it's always great having you on. You're one of the more perceptive players in the league, being able to talk about what happens out there as well as doing it. So. Thanks again for joining me and joining Sean, and I wish you the best of luck, and I'm not going to lie, I won't be disappointed. Rudin Report wants a Darien New Canaan final. It's good for business, so hopefully you guys take care of your part, and good luck.
Thank you very much, Dave.
Okay, that was Darien quarterback Ben Rolap. Sean, he's just a great interview.
Oh yeah, he's great. He's unbelievable.
It's like talking to another coach.
Yeah.
He just
I can't believe you're trying to get him to say the scouting report on the air. That was unbelievable.
I wasn't trying to get that because I knew he wasn't going to, and I expected the generic answer, but it's kind of radio show podcast 101 as you know, I'm still waiting to graduate and get to 102. But now he does a great job, and we're going to have another return interview coming up. My old class of, I'm not going to say what year, at Staples graduate Mitch Ross, the Fairfield Ludlow coach. He's going to come on, talk about the Darien game and look ahead with us to the state playoffs when we return. You're listening to the Rudin Report live on WICC. Okay, and we're back, and joining us now is going to be Fairfield Ludlow coach Mitch Ross. I know would like to be preparing for a game this weekend, but had the Falcons had their season ended by Darien Tuesday night, but what a season it was getting to the state playoffs for the first time in school history. Mitch, thanks a lot for joining us.
Oh, my pleasure, Dave.
I'm sure your thoughts right now and your post-game speech to the players wasn't about a 40-point loss. It was about an 8-3 record and getting to play football in December.
Yes, you know, we had really, for us, an outstanding and a magical year with, you know, with a lot of good things that happened. The only teams we lost to this year were New Canaan and Darien, and obviously those are, you know, two of the top programs in the state. And, you know, now we're hopefully, you know, be playing in December more regularly, but we'll see. It's always a hard hard battle to get through the season and make it all the way through the FCX schedule with no more than two losses, which is basically what it takes for us to make the playoffs.
How frustrating was it? I'm sure you were scoreboard rankings watching, but I'm sure you wanted, not just because you already played Darien and you knew how good they were, but I'm sure just to get the real state playoff experience and knowing how hard it is for somebody unfamiliar with your offense in particular to scheme for you, how disappointing was it not to get a chance to play somebody you haven't played before?
Well, it wasn't disappointing per se, but it would have been nice for the experience for the kids to play a non-FCAC team. You know, just to get the full experience of being in the States at least one game before you meet Darien and New Canaan, who I think are both tremendous teams. You know, unfortunately, we got them in the first round, and as a result, you know, that was a tough game. It's especially tough for a team like us in the playoffs because you only have 5 days of rest from Thanksgiving. Our guys are all going both ways. We have 9 players going both ways. So we went into the game with 6 injuries to those 9 guys, and they all went out on the field and did what they could and were able to battle. And at the end of one half, we were down by a touchdown. But halftime, getting off the field and those injuries, you know, coming back to life as the adrenaline wore off, we basically lost 5 of 6 of those, you know, in short order as we came out of halftime. And that made it very difficult. Not that it wasn't going to be very difficult if we had everybody healthy. It certainly was a big ask for me, you know, for the players to, you know, to give them a good game. We would get tired anyway since we're not platoon. But you know, it is what it is. And, they battled as hard as they could. I was proud of our kids, despite injury going in and playing. And then even in the fourth quarter, the players that were injured wanted to go back in, even though they were noticeably limping or had their shoulder problems or arm problems, but they still wanted to go in and play. For the most part, I kept them out, just because there was little point in getting them a more permanent injury.
Does it still feel like a state playoff experience for you, even though you're playing Darien again? You had both the quick turnaround from Thanksgiving and a familiar opponent that you've been playing every year for a while. Did it still feel like the state playoffs?
Oh, absolutely. First of all, it was cold, so it definitely felt like we're playing in December, but you know, the kids know the difference. I know the difference. The coaching staff knows the difference. I mean, it's playoff time, regardless of who your opponent is. It doesn't matter if you played them before. I mean, remember when I was at Darien, we consistently played New Canaan in the state playoffs and other FCAC teams. So it doesn't make it any, you know, less important, you know, for us. In fact, you know, if we were able to win the game, it would have been, you know, probably the biggest win in Ludlow football history, but we didn't, but it was still a great experience for the kids and the next step. You know, we've been doing these things one step at a time. First, get the first win way back 7-8 years ago, then the first winning season, and then the first playoff appearance. So we keep on, you know, ratcheting up one notch at a time, and we'd like to keep that going and hopefully very soon get our first playoff win. And, you know, we'll go from there.
Sean, I'll let you two do a little coach speak.
Yeah, Mitch, first off, just the heck of a season. What you're doing at Ludlow, that's, I put that coaching job up there with anybody in the league, where the program was before you got there to where it is now. I mean, you, Dave, you kind of answered asked the question I wanted to. But, you know, Mitch, I'm sure you got the point across your kids. I'm sure right now it's not sitting with them. You know, like they're very upset what's going on. And like we, a while ago, we had a season very similar to yours. You know, maybe a month from now, maybe a year from now, they're going to look back and be like, wow, that was the best year in the history of Fairfield Ludlow football. You know, their 10-year reunion, that's what they're going to be talking about. I just hope the boys know and your staff knows, like, what you guys are doing there, it's unbelievable. And I'm not kidding, Mitch. I say it's second to none of what's going on in the league right now.
Well, thanks so much for the kind words. We talked to the players afterwards, and we were living in the moment. They realize, because we've been talking about playoffs for, you know, as a goal for so long, they knew how special it was. You know, they got, you know, of course the loss hurts, but they know what they accomplished, and it doesn't diminish what they accomplished, and they fully realize that. I stayed up with the seniors till after 11 p.m. that night, and, you know, they were already, you know, basking in what was a great season. So they were able to look past the immediate loss to realize how much they've accomplished in 4 years. We do even have two coaches on our coaching staff who were on that first team that I coached, and they were seniors that year. And those two coaches, Colin Mediate and Patrick Hart, their entire high school career, they won a single game. My first year, that was the only game they won. So, you know, they're able to give the kids perspective in how special a playoff season it is. And most of my coaching staff, other than two coaches, other than Coach O'Neill and Avery, have never been to the playoffs before. And the other guys have coached for decades and or at least 10 years. So we all realized how special this was, especially since, you know, these players have put so much into it for 4 years, and the coaches have put so much into it. You know, they know how much work it takes to get there and to turn around things. And so I think the players were very proud of what they accomplished, despite the loss. And, you know, they knew.
I'll tell you the only other coaching job, and I've been doing this a long time, that's comparable to what Mitch.
I know what you're going to say.
Okay, I think I probably said this to you at some point.
At Central,
Dave Catalina, yeah. Dave Catalina, yeah. At Central, when he got them to the FCAC championship games a couple of years there, that and you are 1-2 in some configuration. I'll let I remember when people said that. You can't win at Ludlow. Kind of like when we were there. Remember, people, Staples was a soccer school. You can't win at Staples. And Marsh came in and changed that around. Hey, Mitch, we're almost out of time with this spot, but I actually had a couple more things we want to talk to you about. Do you mind staying on and coming back with us after a break for a few more minutes?
No problem.
Okay, we're going to all the more reason to stay tuned. More Mitch Ross after this break. You're listening to the Rudin Report Live on WICC. All right, we're back for our final segment here, and we've still got Mitch Ross with us. And after going to the rearview mirror, we can look ahead. Darien's going to be playing Notre Dame of West Haven. And if you go by past and current, Ludlow played Notre Dame of West Haven first game of the season, beat them by over 4 touchdowns. So, Mitch, does that make Darien about an 8-touchdown favorite this afternoon
against? I don't think it works like that, as we saw this year with with the upsets, and if you took it that way, we'd have champs that didn't make the playoffs. But yes, Darien's, you know, a very, you know, strong team, and it's going to be Notre Dame. West Haven is going to have, you know, their work cut out for them. They have a lot of good athletes, but it's, you know, it's tough going against you. I do think that Darien and New Canaan are the class of the L class, and it wouldn't surprise me at all if they repeat and both play each other in the finals.
Well, let's assume that's gonna happen. You played both Darien and New Canaan during the regular season, and you got, obviously, you watched film of the Thanksgiving Day game to scout and prepare for Tuesday night. Obviously, the conditions there favored New Canaan, but having played each of them, you know, a couple once or twice, and having seen the Thanksgiving film, what are your thoughts if we do get a Darien New Canaan final?
Well, I think it'll be a very close fought game. Last year, I thought Darien played their best game of the season in the finals against New Canaan and came within a play or two of winning that game. So I think it'll be a great battle if those two meet. You know, they both have work cut out ahead of them. New Canaan has to beat Newtown, and Darien Notre Dame West Haven. But, you know, it will be a closely fought battle. You know, if the weather's bad again, I do think it favors New Canaan. You know, Darien is, you know, more of a pass the ball downfield type of team. But things will change. They'll probably be running roll-up a lot more in the last game of the season, less worried about injury. And it should be a very interesting L finals as well as semifinals coming up in the next few days.
Well, Mitch, appreciate you taking the extra time here to spend with us. And again, congratulations. It's just a tremendous job that you've done there. And it's always nice to see different teams get a chance at the experience and get to write about different teams than the ones we're accustomed to. So congratulations on a great season. And I know more good things are ahead in the future for Ludlow football.
Thank you very much, Dave and John.
Great job, Mitch.
Thank you.
Okay, that was Fairfield Ludlow coach Mitch Ross. Why don't we do a quick turn here, Sean, just because we haven't talked about Greenwich and Staples, and we get another rematch, right? You know, 10-day difference from Thanksgiving when Staples routed Greenwich 27-0, and Greenwich sort of in the same boat as Darien was and getting ready for, you know, to play a next game. What are your thoughts? Staples, by the way, a 42-6 winner over Manchester. What are your thoughts? Greenwich got to go back to Westport.
Yeah, I mean, Staples is just, they're rolling right now. They've been rolling all year except one tough game against New Canaan, but Staples is on an absolute roll. I think it's going to be a more tightly contested game than last time. But I just think Staples has too much right now. They're just, I'm not saying Greenwich does not have a shot. I would not be shocked if Greenwich won, but I just think Staples is on a roll, and they're going to come out on top this weekend.
I think Staples and New Canaan just both have been kind of just building and building and building and keep playing their best football. I mean, that would be a heck of a game. And we have to definitely give a shout out to Davis Crandall, the Jeez. Staples linebacker. He had 17 tackles in the game against Manchester, but that actually gave him the school record, 259 tackles. And Sean, I'm going to sit down probably in a week or so and do my all Rudin report team, and I'm not sure who's going to give him a run for defensive player of the year, but he's, you know, somebody else is going to have really done an outstanding year to beat him out.
Yeah, and Dave, you talked about the 17 tackles. He also had an interception and a punt block return for a touchdown. You know, this kid, we had him on a couple of weeks ago. He just seemed like the nicest kid in the world. But, man, this kid is an absolute player. He is all over the place. He's tough. He's just everything you want in a middle linebacker. He's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's he's just had a crazy year. And then the other game that's going to be real interesting is St. Joseph. They kept seeing Hand in the state playoffs a few years ago, and they're going to get them again Sunday. And I'm just kind of curious your thoughts. H.T. Jones really came out. St. Joe's hasn't been passing the ball a lot this year, and he had four touchdown passes in their 42-7 quarterfinal win. And Jason Pagano, who we had on last week, had two interceptions and a touchdown reception. So can St. Joseph, I can't remember which year, but I was there when they were 1-2 and St. Joseph beat them for the state championship. I remember that game. I just don't remember. I want to say it was 2019. What about them playing again this year?
Yeah, I'm 99% sure it was 2019, because that's the year somehow we got Daniel Hand in the crossover game that year. I remember. You know what? You can never count out St. Joe's. I can't sit here and lie to you, Dave, and say I know much about Hand. I know they're ranked high in the state. I know they're undefeated. But I don't know much about them. The one thing I do know is St. Joe's is one of the best coach teams in the state. St. Joe's has athletes all over the place. St. Joe's has TJ Wright, St. Joe's has dogs on their team. You know, that's the new saying now. And, you know, it's just unfortunate, you know, and I'm not taking anything, you know, away from Brookfield, because Brookfield's having a great year. It's just unfortunate that these two teams are playing in the semifinals and not the finals.
Nah, I don't disagree with you on that. And it's, you know, the normal scouting report is probably the same thing. What I said I thought was going to happen against Greenwich, and probably what I thought was going to happen in a couple of their other games is, you know, I think St. Joe's will be really good for a half, and then they're going to get worn down. I'm not using the they're going to get worn down anymore this year for whether it's one more game or two, because they've proved that they don't wear down. It really comes down to just don't make mistakes.
Yeah, yeah. And also, like, their defense is playing phenomenal all year. You know, are they going to be able to put up another effort? You know, like I said, like we were talking about the other week, you know, the most points they've given up this year was 23 to Greenwich. You know, they have, you know, three or four shutouts. They have a couple one-score games, you know, so their defense has been phenomenal too. You know, I'm sure coach is going to have them in the right spots. They're going to be well prepared. You know, and that's, if I had to pick any of the games to go to, I mean, Staples, Greenwich, that'd probably be the one, because it's two SEAC teams. But if I had to pick between the other ones, it would be St. Joe's in hands.
I can't argue with you on that one. That's going to be a real interesting game. And like you, I will not write the cadets off at all this year. If they're holding up a trophy, I won't be surprised. Well, the bad thing about all the semifinal talk, we're probably not going to be talking about it too much on the next show, because we have the state finals are coming up next Friday and Saturday. So by the time you hear us again, we're going to have state champions, and we're going to have a lot to talk about. So we'll do it all again, Sean, next week, huh?
Sounds good. Can't wait. Good luck to all the FCX schools out there.
Okay. Again, I want to thank Sean. I want to thank our guests, Darien quarterback Ben Rolap and Fairfield Ludlow coach Mitch Ross. Have a good week, everybody, and we'll be back next Sunday.